original group.
Actually, the group got those lists because we did our little. We had a 25th anniversary kind of 10 years ago, and we did extensive research on everybody who lived here over the first 25 years.
Yeah. And there are some of these people still in the area.
I was just going to ask you. Yeah. Do you know of any of those?
Valerie Summers lived here. I'm trying to think of who else would. I mean, there were other people who might not have lived here, but were connected to here. But I know Valerie lived here.
Gina Willette was connected.
There's some other people, but they've moved away. Alan Sorotkin, Catherine Hayes, Michael Hart, who lives next door, actually. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there are some of those from that original group in the area. And Gerset just, at that time, was three times as large. When that group broke up, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but when that group decided to call it quits, they sold one third of the land to pay some people, and they gave one third of the land to two of the members. So what we have now is one third the original size of the Cotter farm.
One third is the original farm. Oh, okay.
That's my best understanding. Hmm. Which is it 70, what, 8? 73 acres
we have now. Oh, I see. Interesting. Now, I'll back up a little bit. So this was a family farm. This was like the ordinary North Country dairy farm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This house, we believe, was built in 60 or 70. The barn was probably built before this house. 1850 is we understand it.
Mm-hmm. Any other earlier original buildings on the property besides the house and the main barn?
The machine barn was built a little later. Built with recycled beams. What's his name? Cotter. Father Cotter. He lives in Ogdensburg.
Oh, yes. He's from this family?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
As a matter of fact, he came out a couple of years ago and visited the school and took us around. And he's just sharp as all could be. I mean, he had just clear memories of all.
There were two brothers that were priests, and they must have both come from this family. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yes. He had lots of stories to tell.
Yeah, he said he remembers as a kid when they brought the beams from another barn here.
Interesting.
And actually, even all the little landmarks that we know, like we got a place we call Coomtree Knoll that's in the back of the land, and he used that name.
He called it that too.
So, which the names obviously came from his family. And he named some other pieces and places on the land.
The founders would have had some contact with the Cotter family to have picked up some of that, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so it was was it lived in, or was it had it more or less abandoned?
I think it was until the moment it was taken over. Yeah.
I think they took over the livestock. They took over some of the cattle.
Oh, really?
There was livestock here first.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Now, each one of the three of you has, obviously, you came from somewhere. All three of you came from elsewhere. Have most of the people who have lived here over time not grown up in the North Country, have actually relocated to the North Country, as far as you know?
From the 70s on, from that group.
Basically, it's a large picture, you could say that, definitely. I mean, and you know, for us, we've had dozens of members and hundreds of interns.
I think Catherine was from Ogdensburg, Catherine Hayes. That's the only person I could think of right off.
Yeah.
Michael was from downstate. Yeah. I don't know where Valerie was. Was David there? Was he here?
Did we pay loans to that family for a long time, paying back the farm?
The Thayers? No.
Who was it? NG Peace Trees people there?
Well, the Thayers, who you're thinking about, and I'm not sure the connection. I mean, they've been long-time friends of the community. I'm not sure
they
live here.
I thought that they had sort of helped buy the place and that they were getting paid back.
I don't recall.
Well, but basically it really is a whole group of people who have relocated. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds to me, though, even though you didn't know each other beforehand, you had some kind of, must have been something in common. You must have discovered something in common among yourselves to have created or at least the founders and among yourselves too, to create some kind of a community out of this. I mean, you just don't fall together. You were seeking something.
I think I would say
that time period was a lot of the back-to-the-landers and cheap land. I mean, those would probably be the main things that people were looking for in general. to come to this area. Mm-hmm. And even through the 80s, I mean. But,
so by the time, however, it had been around for 10 years or more before you were here. So 10 or 15 years, right? Before you were here.
Yeah.
So so the philosophy was already here.
Yes.
So is it the philosophy that drew you here?
Well, the community went through a big change.
For me, it did.
Okay.
The community, as it started, kind of lived its life, and by the early to mid-80s, was almost done. And then Doug was really the only person that connected that history to sort of what Birdsfoot became. And by the late 80s, another group of people had arrived here. And that's when we started formalizing kind of the arrangements that we have now and agreements that we have, and for that matter, mm-hmm. philosophy and things. Sort of took a second life of some sort.
But I think it would be fair to say that Doug not only physically made the bridge between the first group and us, mm-hmm. But he did carry the philosophy. That's what kept him here.
Mm-hmm.
He felt very strongly in the vision,
mm-hmm.
and so he didn't. He never gave the vision up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when, like for example, when I was advertising through the Rural Life Association, but it was really a strong part of it was Doug, and so yes, it was a philosophy. It was a for me also the idea of learning skills, sustainability, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
is what drew me.
Interesting. Okay. So what is, you use the word, each of you have used the word vision at some point here. What is
mm-hmm.
your vision of the place, and why is it you're here? Steven?
There's a variety of things. I mean, I would say one is to live a relatively simple lifestyle. I'd say another would be to share things in common, to allow ourselves to live a simple lifestyle. Certainly food is a big thing here, being a farm, raising our own food, organic methods. I mean, we do a lot with food here. We cook together, we eat together, we grow food and preserve food together, haul the compost out to the back together, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the community part of just sharing our lives together, you know, working, playing, just knowing each other's friends.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be all strong parts of the vision for me.
Julie, how about you?
Well, my interest in community was not after work alone on the farm and live together and raise a family together, because I wanted to farm and have children. So doing it together is just so much easier. And share the responsibilities and the fun.
But you said together and pointed to Steve, so that could have been
just
a couple.
No, I just wanted to
She was indicating that the child needed attention.
Oh,
she kept calling
Mama.
I'm talking. No, together I mean the group.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I guess for me it's also like social change of not wanting to be stuck in. I had a very happy family life I grew up with, and feel very connected to my family in Germany. But the idea of that we used to live in larger groups, where aunts and uncles and whatever were included in extended families,
mm-hmm.
that's not the case anymore, but there are people that want that, and so that's why it's called intentional community. We intend to live together with the same,
mm-hmm.
or some of the same values.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and since I was little, I wanted to farm. People were like, oh, you're from the city, you're a girl. And then I said, I want to live in community. And they say, oh, it's not going to work. It's going to be chaos and love, and people are going to fight over work and not work. And they told me all the reasons why it wasn't going to work. And I just had it in me, I'm going to show you it's going to work.
You're German after all, right?
And I, we've been through some rough spots here, but it's always worked out to when you make it through, you're stronger and you understand each other better.
Uh-huh.
It's so worth it. So I wouldn't never choose to give up, really. So, people that come through and leave Birdsfoot because it wasn't the right place. I wish they would go found their own community or find another community, because I think if you have that in you, you want it, you can find the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of sad to see people go back to nuclear family. That's what they know. That's what they grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have a strong social part in me.
Okay.
Why I like it and love it.
Good. Good. Tricia? Dad or?
Yeah. I was really, I was drawn for the idea of sustainability. I was very active politically through my college years, high school, college years. And that, so the idea for, so it was very attractive, the idea that you would live together, work together for reasons of making it a better world. And but in that political activism, I found that, yes, you could work all night on this project that you were doing, but everybody then went out to the fast food restaurants. And so somehow it was the farming and the food and the sustainability, the idea of sustainability,
mm-hmm.
that drew me here, because I decided, well, I wanted the whole picture. And I think that I have very much learned that in the philosophy that really drives me is that in our daily lives are our statement.
Okay.
For lack of a better word, that's all I can come up with, our statement or our expression of our beliefs. And so that's what I practice here. As
right,
best I
which
can.
Leads me to really a great question that I have had in my mind, and that is, what is a typical day, or is there such a thing as a typical day?
Well, for each of us, it's probably pretty different, because we do still. Well, when I first came here, there was a great deal of us were apprentices, and our lives. Most everyone who was here, their lives revolved around the gardens,
uh-huh.
and working in the gardens. But then, if you're an apprentice, you leave after one or two seasons, and you would go on with your life, and you'd learned a great deal, and so forth. And we get lovely letters from former apprentices, how much life experience and what they carry with them is terrific. But as I decided to stay, I soon discovered that, well, you had to pay the bills, and so I had to get a job. So things did shift for me. We go off the farm in various times and so forth. And then we began having children and things like that. So in some ways, at least my life is not terribly different, I guess. I do things like a lot of people. Yet it is. It can be very different, because we come home and there's other families who are very intimately involved in our lives and supporting us and helping us to grow through
mm-hmm.
all sorts of ways. And
mm-hmm.
maybe I'll let someone else speak first.
We each have our own work. Dooley's on the farm, and Patricia's working with people at Canton College. I'm working with here at the school. So we each during the day kind of go our different ways, but in the afternoon, evening, the kids are all playing with each other, and Milani's cooking dinner. We'll all eat together later, and so I would say that's a lot of commonness and typicalness of each day. Is that
interface.
Pretty much every single day we
mm-hmm.
do all get to sit down together for a couple hours, and then
that's
otherwise
why the big table. That's why the big table.
That's why
yeah,
the big table.
Two big tables.
We usually
we don't all fit always.
A typical meal will have 12 people around the table,
mm-hmm.
and in the summer it will be more.
Because we pull in other people also.
And in the summer it'll be even a lot more.
Yeah.
So we definitely fill up all the seats here for most meals and.
Mm-hmm.
Guests
stuff
and company
like
and visitors come, so we share ourselves a great deal, I think.
Interns are come, or we have
mm-hmm.
a student here from living with us from Germany this year. An intern's going to be coming to join us in another week, to be spending the season with us.
So there's clearly a network that goes well beyond the North Country. You've spoken about the Rural Life Network
Association. Yeah, that is no longer in existence. But
you learn, somebody has a way of learning about bird's foot. I mean, there really is.
There are some listings out there, of course, particularly
that we're
part
of. Yeah.
I mean, I've checked the I Googled. And there isn't really a lot of reference to bird's foot.
Did you find the community's directory? That might be one place.
Yeah, there are.